We're going to start a series right now that the devil just does not like. He hates this. I mean, he hates this with a passion. Can't stand it. So we come under the authority. Heavenly Father, we pray right now for all that will listen and all who will listen in this series for the next little while. Will be touched by the authority and the power of God as they listen. Lord, no interference, no backlash, no counterattack from the enemy. So we step under the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ. We take that authority on and we defeat the powers of evil in people's lives. And Lord, we praise you for that in Jesus' name. Amen. And amen. I want to start off with a scripture. This is going to be loaded with scripture. Loaded. All right. I'll probably give you dozens and dozens of passages. Some I will read and some I'll refer to. Okay. Some I will read and some I will refer to along the way. We're going to go in depth about these demonic oppressions and what they are and how they work and how the intervention needs to be done. And we're going to talk about them. Now, they all run together with soul ties, with the ungodly beliefs. We did all these things. But they all run together. They act as support systems for each of these. And if you want to hear the rest of the series, you can go to the main website, and there you will see the different ones in order that we have done over the last few months, okay? All this works together, all right? Just want you to know that. I'm going to give you a scripture to start off this series called Luke chapter 10, verse 19. And we're going to look at these passages. And again, I'm going to give you a lot of scripture. Again, some I will read directly, others I'll refer to. So if you want to write these down, as Jamie says, for those that are in the back, okay? Here they are. All right, here's the first. This is the major scripture, Luke chapter 10, verse 19. Jesus speaking, I give you authority to trample on snakes and scorpions and to overcome, I want you to see this, all the power of the enemy, and nothing will harm you. See what's happening? And the immediate backlash from the enemy. Now, we're gonna talk about this. There's dozens and dozens of scriptures I could give you, but it would take hours and hours, all right? But I'm going to give you what you need to know. Now, people asked you, can a Christian have a demon? Can a Christian have a demon? Can a Christian have a demon? And a lot of people teach that a Christian can be demon possessed, that there's a demonic element in a life. Well, let's look at this for a second, and let's look at possession, oppression, and depression, okay? All right, now, the question is, can a Christian have a demon? Well, let's talk about that for a moment. You see, possession is ownership. Think about that for a minute. That's my car. That's my house. That's my computer and belongs to you. Possession deals with ownership. Now, if a Christian is possessed, the devil must own them. Remember, possession is ownership. They must be owned by the enemy. I said this several times. You're a dude, not a duplex. You can't have God on one side, devil on the other. One is either going to own you or the other own you. But you can't have the devil possessing you today and the God possessing you tomorrow. It's either one or the other. You're not a duplex. You're a family dwelling. You're a family dwelling. Now, you can't have a demon. You can't be possessed by the devil as a child of God. However, you can be harassed and oppressed, or you can be pressured. Pressured. You can be depressed and oppressed and be harassed by devils all the time. That can happen. That's very possible. And it happens all the time. Happens all the time. Now, let me go back and let me help you with once and for all. Once and for all about, can a Christian have a demon? Is it possible? Is it possible? Well, there's scriptures that concern Christians and demons. There's dozens of them. There's dozens of scriptures and demons about Christians and the devil. Absolutely. See, and they say that some people believe, now remember, some Christians believe that a Christian can be owned by the devil. You see? But biblically, it's not true. Because they have to have legal, understand the word legal, L-E-G-A-L, legal right to occupy. There has to be a legal right to occupy. Because everything is done in legality. That's why it talks about the law of sin and death, the law of sin and death, the spirit of Christ in spirit of Christ in me and shall overcome the law of sin and death. Yeah. Because here's what happens is that they want to. So I don't know, that somehow they just, I don't know. Maybe they want to be possessed. I don't know that. I'm not saying that, but my goodness. See, the enemy lies. See, they begin to have ungodly beliefs. Ungodly beliefs. And they go into a covenant with the unbelief in their life. We talked about that at length on unbelieving, ungodly beliefs. At length we dealt with this. So they have to go into a spirit of agreement. Somehow the devil begins to lie to this Christian and they begin to believe ungodly beliefs. Ungodly beliefs. They begin to actually believe the lies. Believe the lie. And they begin to think on the lies and they begin to believe in what the devil's saying to them. And what happens is that gives them legal right, and the enemy has legal right to deceive them. See, and they have soul, spirit hurts. Now, let me show you some things here. See, we know the devil works primarily with thoughts into our minds. That's where the devil works. Thoughts, thought life. That's why it says, let the mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus. The devil works in the thought life. Thought life. All of a sudden, these lies come to you and you begin to believe. So if the devil lies to a person and the devil says, you can be demon possessed, and they begin to believe the ungodly beliefs. Secondly, demons will try to reinforce the person's continuing in the same hurtful patterns. over and over and over and over and over again. They have patterns. They do the same thing over and over and over again. And they get into a pattern. They get into a pattern. And the enemy will amplify that pattern, amplify that thought. Just amplify it. Third thing is about that the enemy will keep you agitated. Agitated from healing. You'll be so agitated all the time. Agitated, 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 agitated. Now, can the enemy agitate you day and night? Absolutely. That's why Christians do some very, very bad things. Now, some people believe that that is not even, they don't believe in the devil. Christians do not believe, some, not everybody, and the world does not believe the devil. You know, I think it's an idea. But let's ask this. Does demons really exist? Do they really exist? Well, the Bible says they do. Jesus said they do. The great adversary, Satan, we understand that. And let me give you something here that you need to really think about. Now, there's only one devil. There's only one Satan. Only one. Only one. Only one. And this Lucifer, Satan, devil, has minions of demons at his beck and call. Minions of demons. Minions. 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 And their job is to take away what God is doing. You look at Mark chapter 4, verse 15. The sowers out sowing the seed says, and when they hear immediately, Satan comes and takes away the word which has been sown in them. That's the story of the sower. They try to prevent a person from hearing God's truth. That's their job. They prevent a person from hearing God's truth. So a person hears God's truth, and immediately the devil lies to them, or the devil takes it away. They hear God's truth, and the devil just takes it from them, according to Matthew, Mark chapter 4, verse 15, Mark. And see, the enemy works in us. Demons will counter the thoughts of the God. You see, and the word of God will go forth, you know. You know, out there, word of God is sown, and the enemy counters. That's why you hear people say, well, it doesn't work for me. I tried Christianity, and it sure didn't work for me. You know, I tried one time, and I don't believe all that stuff. See, when they begin to think about that in the area of ungodly beliefs, they, listen to me, they come into covenant with the unbelief in their life. They come into covenant with the unbelief in their life. And when this belief system comes into agreement with the enemy's lives, the enemy tells them all kinds of things, and they agree. You're no good. I agree. You'll never be any good. I agree. And the agreement begins to take place. And when it does, you have all kinds of difficulty. And you get oppressed, you get oppressed. You're not going to be possessed because that's control. And as agitation begins to happen, and the enemy takes advantage of this. And the Word of God says that you can be delivered from this. Let me give you a scripture here from Exodus chapter 23, verse 29 through 31. You can also find it in Deuteronomy chapter 7, 1 through 26. Okay, let's look at this. Look at this. Exodus 23:29. I will not drive them out from before thee in 1 year, lest the land become desolate and the beasts of the field multiply against thee. This is God speaking. I will not drive them out before thee in 1 year. I'm not going to do it. 30. Little by little and little, I'll drive them out before thee until thou be increased and inherit the land. Then verse 31, I will set the bounds from the Red Sea even unto the sea of the Philistines and from the desert unto the river. Notice this, for I will deliver the inhabitants of the land into your hand, and thou shalt drive them out before thee. There's principles right here in this passage of scripture. Principles. Notice what he said in verse 29. I will not drive them out before thee in 1 year. See, God doesn't drive out the inhabitants of the land in 1 year. He does it over a period of time. Why? Because Israel was not ready or prepared to take the land. They were not ready. They were not ready to go. See, and sometimes, listen to me, sometimes prayers are not answered in the way we want those prayers to be answered because we're not ready to receive the answer from God at that moment. We're not prepared. Not prepared. Not prepared. Notice what it says, until you have increased enough to take possession. That's why people, well, God doesn't answer my prayer. And so, no, because if God answered your prayer, you couldn't handle it. You're not prepared spiritually. There's a lot of people that are just not prepared spiritually for great things. They're just not. Just not. Notice what it said, that there'll come a time when you will be able to inherit the land, and that's when God said, I'll drive them out. Look at the principles here. See, because it doesn't happen at one time. Because you can't handle it. People want miracles. Miracles, miraculous. They can't handle miracles. They would know what to do with a miracle. They just wouldn't know. So sometimes it takes time so a person is prepared. Let me show you something interesting. Let me ask you a question. We do this in Word Spirit Power conferences around the world, and people get so mad at me. Wow. I thought one guy was going to get up in the service and run down the center aisle and fight. You know, really. Let me ask you something. Why did Jesus come? Why did he come? What was his reason for coming? Now, some of you may get mad here. You will not be the first. Why did Jesus come? Somebody says, well, to die on the cross and Give us salvation. Okay. That's why Jesus came, right? Okay. And you're thinking, wait a minute, this guy is really gone off a deep end. No, I haven't gone off any deep ends. I will tell you why Jesus came. Are you ready? It's in 1 John chapter 3, verse 8. Go and look it up. 1 John chapter 3, verse 8. Are you ready? Here's what it says. 1 John 3, 8. That he might destroy the works of the devil. That he might destroy the works of the devil. That's why Jesus came. And on the cross, he destroyed the works of the devil. Acts chapter 10, verse 38. Acts chapter 10, verse 38. You know that Jesus of Nazareth, how God anointed him with the Holy Spirit and with power, and how he went about doing good and healing all who are oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. Jesus came to destroy the works of the devil, and the cross was the instrument that did it. Hear that? Jesus came to destroy the works of salvation? No, the works of the enemy to buy salvation on the cross. Now, see what I'm saying? See the Father's heart here? Look at this. He went around doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil. See, Jesus revealed the Father to us. And his examples all through the four Gospels, mentioning Jesus dealing directly with demons. I guess the most noteworthy account is the man called Legion. The one that Jesus said, "What's your name?" Legion. Something happened the other day. Let me just share this with you. Let me just share this with you because it's important. It's important. We're having all these pronouns. You know, people call themselves different names instead of, you know, name they were given. There's something else now. There was something else. And there's something else. There was a group that was asked, what is now their pronoun they want to be called by? And they had a lot of nonsense. But there's one that I took note of. Someone told me this. That there was one of these individuals that wanted to be called they. T-H-E-Y, they. And I said to the person that told me about the person they had encountered, called they. They know a person, they. Okay. And I said, if I was standing there and someone asked me that they wanted to be called and their new name was a pronoun and the name pronoun was they, I would immediately say, how many do you have? How many they are you? Who's your familiar? Who's your familiar? If you say your name is they, then you have to have more than one. So who is your actual familiar? And this person said, I never thought of that. Fine. So if I encounter a they there, I'm sure going to ask them who they are. And the demoniac of Gadara or Legion who clothed himself in chains and took his clothes off and cut his flesh on stones. When Jesus said, "Who are you?" And he said, "My name is Legion, for we are many." You could call him they. You can call him they. See what the devil's doing? See what the enemy is doing here? Now, a lot of people don't want to hear about this stuff. Now, what was Jesus's job description? Do you know? What was Jesus's job description? Luke chapter 4, verse 18. Preach deliverance to the captives and set at liberty them that are bruised. Now, did Jesus accomplish that goal? Absolutely. Nearly one-fourth of the gospel accounts of Jesus refer to him setting people free of demonic oppression. Think about this. 25% of the gospel accounts of Jesus ministering was setting people free of demonic oppression. Do you know that? Matthew 12:28, Jesus said, "But if I cast out devils by the Spirit of God, then the kingdom of God is come unto you." Remember, there's only one devil and a lot of demons. Notice he said, cast out devils, demonic spirits. See, the coming kingdom of the Lord meant freedom from a demonic oppression. Listen to this in Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, it's over. Let me choose this one in Mark 16:17. "And these signs shall accompany those who have believed. In thy name they will cast out demons and speak with new tongues." It's clear. It's clear that we can have a life that frees people from the oppression of the devil. Now listen to this. This is important. I did a series on this of not programs, but series of talks on this about 2 weeks ago. Listen to this. Acts 5:16. "And bringing sick folks with them, which were vexed with unclean spirits, and they were healed everyone." Notice the connection between demons and healing. Acts 5:16. "Bringing sick folks with them, which were vexed with unclean spirits, and they were healed every one." The connection between healing and demonic activity is clear. Acts 8:7 records the work of Philip. "For unclean spirits, crying with loud voice, came out of many that were possessed with them." So there was possession there, control there. And when you study the scriptures, it's amazing. We're going to do that tomorrow. I'm going to show you some scriptures tomorrow, right from the Word of God, dealing with this same subject. Same subject. We got to understand this issue here. Got to understand about demonic oppression. Got to understand what that is and what that means and what to do about it. See, people today, and this is sad for me, that, oh, we don't have to deal with that anymore. No, really? And, you know, God doesn't do that anymore. Oh, really? I want you to see this one more verse of scripture and ask yourself a question. You can ask that question on your own, of course. Here's what it says. Mark 16:17. Just ask yourself this. "And these signs will accompany those who have believed." Now, ask yourself a question. Have you believed? These signs will accompany those who have believed. Question, are you a believer? Are you a believer? Now, if you're not, that passage, that promise is not for you. But if you are, let's continue. And these signs will accompany those who have believed. In my name, they will cast out demons. In my name, in my name, in my name, in my name, in Jesus' name. They will speak with new tongues. As God ever rescinded that command, that passage? Has God ever said, no, the devil doesn't lock her. We don't believe that anymore. And no, we're not going to do this. No, we're not going to go forward. And no, that doesn't happen. And that doesn't take place. And we're not going to do this. And no, the Bible's a closed book. And when John died, that was the end. The Holy Spirit basically, you know, closed up shop, and he hasn't been seen or heard from since. There's a technical word for that. Don't get mad at me. It's called matriarchic infidels. It's a people that believe that God just does not do anything anymore but save. So all he does is save. Nothing else. He saves. But they don't understand salvation means, comes from the word Zoe, which means life, body, mind, and spirit. They don't believe that part. So we don't deal with that. We don't deal with that. Because our doctrine does not incorporate that. We talk about salvation, it's all we talk about. Now, don't misunderstand me. Salvation is the thing. But a person can be saved and oppressed by the devil day and night. Oh, no, he can't. Yes, he can. It's called fear. It's called striving. Huh? Christians are full of fear. They live that way. They live that way. They function that way. They fear about everything. The devil has them wrapped up in fear. Just so full of fear. And wait a minute. Is Christians I'm talking about? I'm not talking about unbelievers. Listen, you probably know Christians that are wall-to-wall fear. That's oppression. You probably know Christians that are depressed. They carry all kinds of depression within them. They're depressed day and night. They're absolutely depressed. They feel that depression. The spirit of heaviness comes upon them. Spirit of heaviness just overtakes them. It can hardly function. Some can hardly get out of bed. Can't do anything. Sit there. Can't go to work. Can't take care of their families. Can't do nothing but sit there depressed. That's the spirit of depression that comes on by the powers of evil. Yet Christians will say, oh, I don't believe in that stuff. You see what we're fighting against here? See what we're fighting against here? And we're fighting against the church world. Oh, get in trouble now. I'll lose 100 listeners. We trouble in the church world. The church world. You talk about this in some circles. They say, oh, no. Oh, no. Oh, no. Oh, excuse me. Where are we going? Let me take another pill for depression. Huh? Huh? I don't believe that. Wait a minute. I can't do anything. Why? Because I'm so fearful. Hello? We'll talk about the scriptures tomorrow concerning deliverance. There's dozens. I'm not going to read every one. I'm not going to give you every one. but I may refer to most of them. You have to understand what is going on, and we must understand quickly.